The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. As we face the issues, it is always our desire to hear from you. Your dialogue and discussion, your input, your questions and comments in relationship to it's always a blessing to us. We're always overjoyed when we have the privilege and the opportunity to answer your questions, give insight and directions on the Word of God. Today, we're going to be talking about God heal our land. God heal our land. That's a phrase out of 2 Chronicles 7:14. There are a lot of people today that are saying that that's needed, and we need to ask God to heal our land. We're going to talk about the precursor to that. We'll talk about what that verse means and why the anti-Trump group had the hair on fire, was so, enraged, because President Trump, from the Oval Office, from the executive desk, read 2 Chronicles 7:14, verses 11 through 22. Those are the verses he read. But the heart of that text is found in the 14th verse of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. What does that verse say? Who is it written to? How do we receive it? What should we do? Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps the most, if not all, of those in America today will tell us that America is in need of healing. Most, if not all, will say America's divided. We're divided socially, economically, politically, morally, ethically. We're divided in every fashion that you could think of and every facet that you could dream of in our nation today. How can we be whole? What will make us whole as a nation? How can we be reunited as a nation? What will heal us? How can the nation be healed? Every time we talk with a politician, it just takes a little more money. In fact, I just watched a newsreel last evening on television where they were talking about the homelessness in California, and especially in L.A. They said that they had, in the past 10 years, if I'm not mistaken, I could be corrected on the exact numbers, that they had spent some $40 million for the homeless, trying to help them. And if you take that and divide it into the number that supposedly were helped, they could have bought them a new home, each and every one of them, for the amount of money they spent on that. And yet they still have the homeless and the major, major problem with drugs. And as one commentator said, they're not looking for a home, those in the tents and the tent cities, homeless. They're not looking for a home. They're looking for a handout. They're looking for more meth. They're looking for more coke. They're looking for more of the drugs that's available that the state of California is providing, along with the needles, free of charge. That's all they're after. There's a major problem, though, that needs to be dealt with. That is a divisiveness in our nation. And I could go on and on and on with the different things that divide us, but we need to think about what is the answer. Perhaps we need to stop abortion. Perhaps we need to stop the trans movement. Perhaps we need to, in somehow, some way, get people back into the Word of God. I am coming up with a hypothetical in the realm of the introduction to where we're going on the text that we're going to examine today. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the verse in particular that the loose lax lost liberals, the Marxist media, and the socialist Marxist left called the Democratic Party got enraged as a result of President Trump just a couple of weeks ago, when there's the move to read through the Bible in 1 week, beginning in Genesis and going through the book of the Revelation. And President Donald J. Trump, live from his Oval Office, read several verses in 2 Chronicles 7. Why is it? And then what is the answer? How do we resolve it? We're going to look at it from a central biblicist viewpoint. The Bible is very, very clear as to what we need to do and how we need to respond. And I believe the text is should be alive and well. And I believe that text in 2 Chronicles 7:14 needs to be examined and applied. And the end result, that's what we intend to do today, Lord willing. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. It is what God's word says that makes the difference, ladies and gentlemen. In John 8:31-32, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." How long is forever? It's forever. I go back to the secularist George Orwell that made a profound statement. By the way, this is found in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. I'm not recommending Orwell. I'm just simply saying he was on target with the statement when he said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find ourselves in that predicament, that position, even today. And the younger Americans, according to this research, says most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Now, if there's no such thing as absolute truth, how do we get to the elemental final answer in any court case? How do we get to an elemental final answer on morals and ethics and values and what needs to be done? How do we get to a fundamental final resolution on what we need to do and say and what is truth and what is not truth? But this article says that 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we find, as one article says, Western society will be destroyed without the commitment to truth. In fact, in this article, ladies and gentlemen, it says, America's institutions are suffering from a collapse in public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the media, and education. And the article goes on to talk about in each of these areas how there's a dogmatic feeling that there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, in the educational standards and academia, this article says that they say that the truth is simply relative. This individual's perception of truth, even that there is no such thing as absolute truth. I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. We need to get back to the fundamentals, the basics of what is truth. And I still default to, if you please, Jesus' own words in John 14:6, "I am truth." That's the centrality of truth. When we deviate from that, we've lost it. We do not have truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time can answer your questions about the power backup equipment. They can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, "How do I find that?" It's right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a 165-foot flagpole on this campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a few more moments and a brief monologue and introducing of our speakers today as we are gathered around the round table here in our studio. We're going to be talking about this issue together. We've got with us today Dr. Neil Phelps and Dr. Glenn Davis. We're delighted that we have this privilege of sharing this broadcast with you and inviting you to call in. And lest I forget it, and sometimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps, lead us off with the introductory thoughts, not getting into the text at this point, but why is it so needful and necessary for us to understand biblical truth? Why is it so needful and necessary for us to study the Word and know what the Word says?
Truth is the foundation of our faith. Mm-hmm. If there is no truth, we have no foundation for our faith. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Jesus said of the Word of God that it is truth. When he was talking in John chapter 17, in that prayer, intercessory prayer, talking to the Heavenly Father, he said concerning the disciples, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Mm-hmm. And other places where Jesus has spoken regarding the word truth is very important for us, because truth is vital to our faith. Mm-hmm. There can be no believing unless there is a receiving of the truth. And so I state that just simply, but there more could be said about what I just said,
yes.
What I just stated so. There. But without truth, we have nothing to believe. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important.
That's right, absolutely. Dr. Davis. Dr. Davis, ladies and gentlemen, hails from up in Folkestone, Georgia. He's driven in this morning to sit here in our studio around the round table, as we call it, talking about this issue that we're going to get into in a moment. Dr. Davis, thank you for being here. Say a few words to our listeners why a broadcast like this is so vital and so important. And by the way, let me just tuck in a little footnote. Why this broadcast is so vital and so important, and why listeners need to support it by sending a contribution in each month, that it might be supported and self-sustaining. So I'll tuck that in, and you talk about the other.
Amen. You know, I just want to say good morning to my bride of 40 years and everyone, amen, that I've asked to listen, amen, to this broadcast. And Dr. Youngblood, as you said, it's so important for us because there are so many lies being broadcast out there, untruths.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That don't line up with the Word of God. And even, just like Jesus said, in the last days, the very elect will be deceived if possible. Mm-hmm. Now, the only way that that doesn't become possible is if you know the Word of truth.
Amen.
And we're talking about the Word of God.
Yes.
And if we look at the book of Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us, verse 10 and going forward, that after we heard the word of truth, then we were filled with the spirit of promise, mm-hmm. which is the spirit of God, which is also the spirit of truth.
Yes.
So then once again, it will be impossible to be deceived if you are filled with the spirit of truth, because you have to be led by that same spirit in order to walk in the path of righteousness and in order to live a life that's pleasing to God.
Absolutely. One of the things you touched on prompts my memory. In John, the 10th chapter, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. It's the word oikos, hear and heed. My sheep hear my voice and follow me, and will not follow another shepherd, false
Amen.
Shepherd. That's the reason I believe that it is so vital for Christians to know the Word, and therefore not being deceived. And if we know the Word, we will not do as this one pastor. I'm going to touch on this, then open our telephone lines and invite our callers.
And let me say this before you get ready to get started. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there.
Amen.
Amen today. All of my wonderful mothers. Listen, let me tell you something. I love all of you.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I got black mothers. I got white mothers. There's no discrimination with me. I love you all. Amen.
Amen.
So, amen. Thank God for you on today.
Absolutely.
Because, once again, I like the way that First Lady, Melania Trump, laid it out in her speech the other day.
Mm-hmm.
She said that mothers in the U.S. are really the backbone of all the families here. This is why we have so many great fathers and so many great sons and so many great daughters that go on to accomplish so many great things. It's because of the mothers in the U.S.
Well, listen,
praise God.
I am thankful you mentioned that. Let me say this. I believe every Democrat should look back and say, thank God that my mother was pro-life.
Amen.
Every Democrat
Amen.
Should say, thank you, Lord, that my mother was pro-life. But yet most of those are pro-death today, not realizing that had that been the philosophy of their mother, they wouldn't exist today.
That's right. Amen.
In fact, I have a little footnote in our bulletin coming up for Sunday. It says, thank God that your mother was pro-life. And I believe that needs to be understood by the listeners. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for your program. We appreciate your truth. And we just want to say that the, King Solomon said that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. This was the wisest man on the face of the earth. And Yahushua said, Jesus said, that my house should be called a house of prayer. And, you know, Jesus did not call 12 women to follow him, but 12 men, because we're at war with the force of darkness. And he called men to fight, and fight for truth, and fight in prayer, and fight against the evil works of darkness and lies of the devil. And, you know, this one watchman said the church gets an F. And if we're in the last days, which the Bible codes completely show we're in the last days, with the COVID-19 vaccination as a precursor to mark of the beast, then we're in the last days. It says the church is in a great falling away. And we see a lot of abominations happening in the churches today. And we got to check ourselves to see if we're in the faith or not. And see if we're doing the works that Jesus, Yahushua, called us to do. Cast out devils, heal the sick, and be the house of prayer he called us to be, and not playing church.
Absolutely, and Brother Kevin, you're exactly right. Wendy, I believe, if I can, not cutting you off, but simply jump in with a footnote, I believe it's time the church becomes real. I believe it's time the church, the bride of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the professing believers, I believe it's time we get real. And part of that becoming real is having enough conviction in our hearts that broadens into deep, deep, deep conviction and commitment to serve the Lord. We're witnessing, as you said, the falling away, the apostasy. We're finding churches that are closing in America. In fact, according to the statistics, 1,500 churches a month are closing in America today, across the nation, across denominational lines, because of the apostasy. And part of that ties in with what I want us to understand today. If we have the kind of frivolous attitude that the church is always going to be there, if we have the frivolous attitude that my attendance does not count, if we have the frivolous attitude that I can do whatever I want to do and occasionally go back and give a tip to God, occasionally go back and be seen in the pews, and occasionally go back and act like I'm saved, I believe that is the root cause of our apostasy today, the falling away. And the scripture says there's the falling away before the church is raptured out and the coming of the Antichrist. And so as we see the falling away, it should cause every Christian to wake up, stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen in these last days that we're in. And it brings about the subject at hand today when we're talking about God heal our land. And everybody, most everybody, I believe, would tell you, even the rankest Democrat will tell you, our land needs healing. We're divided morally, we're divided ethically, we're divided spiritually, we're divided politically, we're divided economically, we're divided racially, etc., etc. There are the divisions there that need to be brought together. We need to be healed. But it is not simply something that's magical. It's something that must come from the Christian, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, while I have you on the phone, Kevin, I'm going to read for the benefit of our listeners and then get your thoughts. Headline says, make no sense. Preacher corrects Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. A preacher at the United Church in Walpole, W-A-L-P-O-L-E, Massachusetts, has joined the chorus of those who say that what the Bible says really says what God doesn't really say, what God really meant, and that they are helping out by telling people of the mistakes that God made. a preacher of the church who claims, saying, we have to claim Jesus as Savior and as Lord, won't get you to heaven, and it makes no sense at all since this claim was made. Quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life, this preacher says, are not literal, and there are many religions, multiple paths of concepts, ridiculed by a Christian comedian who once said that when you want to travel, you just go to the airport, get on a plane, it'll take you wherever you want to go. This woman, preacher, knows not the word of God, this writer says, and based her take on it. Says, knows not the word of God, such a shame she holds the position to tell others her view. He goes on to say, when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, it is not real, it's metaphorical. It is not meant to be taken literally. What do you say, Kevin, what do you say about somebody that's a preacher that says that God's word is metaphorical and not literal and should not be taken literal?
The prophecies are all being fulfilled today. All the prophecies are being fulfilled. Everything he's saying is coming to pass. Matthew 24, Revelation, it's all coming to pass. And the Bible goes proof. It's the word of God. Hardcore, hands down, no doubt about it. We got the Bible codes. We got the discoveries. We got Noah's Ark. The Ark of the Covenant. Everything's been found. Everything's been found. The Bible's completely true. 100% true.
Yes, absolutely, it's true. And by the way, Brother Kevin, not condemning, but simply, I don't need a Bible code to tell me it's true. All I need is the Word of God that tells me it's true. Everything that God said, all of the prophecies of Jesus' first coming have been fulfilled. And if we can count on that, and we can, all the prophecies about His second coming, about the rapture of the church, about the days of the tribulation, we can count on being factual, actual, and not just metaphorical, but real and relevant, and should be embraced by the child of God. Thank you, Kevin, for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. Thank you. Dr. Davis, what say you when I read this article about a preacher that says that is metaphorical when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. How do you counter that? And this is the reason I think that we need to understand where we are, what we're talking about with this text today, is because we have a division in biblical understanding. How can we ever come together on what the Bible says in relationship to what we need to do? What is the process for God healing our land? Is there a need? Do you see a need? What is the need, if you see a need, for there to be better biblical understanding? And is it possible in the big picture of things, is it possible to ever have an understanding that we will come together with the centrality of the Word of God as being the first, foremost, and final authority, and not what someone has thought up or a denominational dogma? Speak to that for a moment.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, if we consider actually what a preacher is biblically, you are an herald of the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, it's impossible for you to be a preacher or to, well, you can call yourself anything you want to. That doesn't mean that
that's
what you are. But then, when you consider people like this that are not communicating the deep spiritual truths to the lost and dying world out there, you got to consider that. You got people out there that needs to hear a word so that revival can happen. Now, before revival can happen universally, it needs to happen individually, but it comes through faith, as Dr. Phelps said, by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Right.
So if you are not heralding the truth for the people to receive out there, then you are actually, can I say, a false prophet?
False prophet, part of the problem, a part of the mangled mess that we find our nation in that brings about the divisiveness. And Dr. Phelps, as we think about this and as we look at it, some, as I said a moment ago, some recently mocked, literally mocked President Trump because said he's not a religious man and he read from the Bible and that ought not to be so. Others then jumped up and down and said, you know, that's mixing religion with politics and we ought not to do that because of the separation of church and state. All kinds of mockery was made as a result. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm delighted that President Donald J. Trump read from the scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, he read verses 11 through 21, or 22, that is. I want us to read for a moment, Dr. Phelps, if you would read for us, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and let's talk about that for this broadcast today. I believe it's so vital for us to understand because it gives super, super, super good directions and a process by which is required biblically for us to ask God to heal our land. Read that for us, Dr. Phelps.
2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Dr. Phelps, take a moment, if you will, for the benefit of our listeners that might be naysayers. There are a lot of people out there, perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, you're one of them. You said, well, that doesn't apply today. That was speaking to Israel. That was talking to the Jewish people. That was something that was said so many eons ago, we cannot count on that today. Dr. Phelps, how do we counter that kind of argument in relationship to the context, the setting, and what it is saying and why it is beneficial for us and applicable to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today?
Most of us believe that scriptures from Genesis to the Revelation is for us who believe today, believing Christians. And the reason is because all of God's Word is inspired and it's profitable for us to read and study and to observe or keep, as the Bible tells us. We believe David said it well in Psalm 119, 160, thy word is true from the beginning. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. We believe that all the Bible is truth, and it has authority. And I don't think there's any greater authority about the truth than the Lord himself.
Absolutely.
God's prophets and God's people, then when they speak the truth, are speaking with authority.
Absolutely.
That's the word of God.
Yes. Dr. Davis, in this text, in this unit, this little small verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it is powerful and it's packed with the process that I believe needs to be unlocked, spiritually speaking, for us to find the healing in America today. Let me set the stage and then ask a question. Solomon says, and it's the all of chapter 6 is the dedicatory prayer. Solomon's temple has been built. It is the prayer before the people in his dedication of that temple. Verse 40 of chapter 6, now my God, let I beseech thine eyes be open, let thy ears be attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. And then Solomon goes on. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. The glory of the Lord filled the house. And then in verses 4 and following, Solomon talks about in that prayer leading up to the 14th verse that we're talking about. Verse 11 in chapter 7, then Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came to Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, prosperously effected. Verse 12, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon by the night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And he goes on to say, verse 13, if I shut up heaven and there's no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, he sets the stage, God telling Solomon, if this takes place, this is the answer to it. And I believe we can claim that today as Christians, as we see the division, the dissolution, the destruction in our land, that we can do what Solomon did in this 14th verse in the text that is before us. Talk about the need today for our land to be healed.
Well, if I can just put it in short before we get ready to take this news break, before the sinners or the unregenerate know anything about what is right, first they need to see us, the people of God who are wearing his name, doing it right.
Absolutely. That was a good summary of where we're going. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be back to face the issues in a moment.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University.